You're a holiday powerhouse. You host the dinners, shovel neighbors' sidewalks, and make everything from scratch. You definitely don't need help making the holidays happen. But Dunkin's Holiday Blend Coffee? A warming medium roast complete with sweet notes of dried fruit and molasses. Or a cranberry orange muffin made with real cranberries just might convince you a little help never hurt. Especially the hot caffeinated kind. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Jammer, I'm going to have to ask you, if you're the director of talent acquisition, why have you not got any for yourself? Oh, fuck, I'm...
Oh, my God. That was so stupid. I am
somebody
so
call the burn unit.
Oh, my God.
It's a hurt.
Oh, that made
me... to wrap you in gauze.
Should we even podcast? I think we're done.
You're done.
That's a check. Look like Freddy Krueger over there. Darn it.
Yeah.
all right. Anything
Sorry,
before
Jam,
we start?
That's fine. Low hanging fruit, I guess.
Yep. Yes, you are.
Oh, before we start, I did want to say I finished.
Did you want to say
Home Before Dark?
And oh, yeah. So wait, the first season?
Fucking infuriating. Like, I don't want to spoil it. I know it's in season two, but it hasn't been that long since season one. I really enjoyed it. I liked it. Really enjoyed the ending. But I got to the end, and I was just infuriated with the
town. Yeah, imagine having to wait a year.
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
Assuming this
so wait, did you start season two yet?
No, I've been kind of busy this week, and I knew that I wanted to finish that.
An anime.
And not an anime.
Oh,
and
I assume so, because me and Danny haven't heard of it.
Home Before Dark?
Yeah.
It's the Apple TV show.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before.
So here's the funny thing. I still like the lead character. I think the easiest way to describe her is precocious. Like, she's
so really
just...
quick, before you move on.
What?
Explain what Home Before Dark is for our listeners and for it's too
oh,
fucking.
We talked about like 10 times.
Bring it up again.
Home Before Dark.
Always assume.
So here we go.
First time listener.
Here we go into the Apple TV Plus promo section of our podcast.
yeah.
So Home Before Dark is a television show. It's produced by John Chu, and the show is about folks.
He's the guy who did Crazy Rich Asians, right?
Crazy Rich Asians. He just directed In the Heights. With Lin-Manuel Miranda. Did he do one of the G.I. Joe movies? I think he did the third.
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, I think you're right. I think he did. God, that sucks.
You know, listen, everybody's got to have like a heartbeat, like highs and lows in their career. So, you know, that's just, it's a low. He got to work with Dwayne Wark Johnson. That's, you know, it's cool.
Oh, he did Retaliation.
Yeah.
That's actually a better one.
Yeah.
I was worried that it was Snake Eyes.
Oh no.
No, Retaliation was stupid, but it was like fun.
Yeah, it was like fun, stupid.
Yeah.
The last one. Did you watch Snake Eyes?
God, no. You told me not to.
Fucking abomination. Well, so here's the thing. There are things I tell you not to watch. You're like, I want to see it just to see what I think. And
that was a movie that I already didn't really want to watch because it looked like it was boring. And then you're like, don't watch it. I was like, okay.
Masters of the Universe. Have you watched Masters of the Universe?
Yes.
You have not.
I have not. No.
Fuck you. I was talking about how shit that was. And you're like, you know what? I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna see what's what. And you're like, nah, I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
There was something else too. What was Venom 2? Have you seen Venom 2?
No. I haven't seen a lot this week. What I've been doing.
I've seen Venom 2.
I've been actually reading a lot. So
I don't
a lot
care.
Of my time.
Listen,
I'm not gonna
I don't need you to tell me what you've been doing. Here's my issue. My issue isn't that you've been like watching things or doing other things. My issue is I will say like X is shit. And you're like, you know what? I want to watch shit just to see if I
then
agree
I don't.
With whether or not it's, and then you don't. That's well,
yeah.
That is my only issue.
Here's
it doesn't
the
matter
thing.
To me.
Here's
it doesn't
the
matter
thing.
To me. Have you other
like
things
I,
going
I
on in your
it
life?
And I'm just like, what? I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll check it out. I'm interested. And then I'm just like, but I could do anything else that I know is good. And then I just kind of lose motivation. So then I just don't watch it.
whatever. I hate you. I hate your stinking guts. Anyway, Home Before Dark. Family moves to a small town, and there's a murder mystery that takes place. And it's good.
And it is a small town that the father grew up in. And there's like residual sort of animosity towards him because he's like the guy who left town to become a big shot New York journalist and shit. Yeah. And so there's a lot of animosity that is like carried over still.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed most of the characters. So one of the things you brought up last time, you asked me whether or not I would like it or dislike it because there's a kid involved. I think the older sister like kind of fits in that mold of like, God, you're just taking up space and irritating me. I did not care for her, but other than that,
I think she is kind of annoying, but then like she's kind of redeemed in the way she does things a lot of times.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Nah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. She's a fucking high schooler. They're all stupid.
They're all selfish.
It's all about them. But then she overcomes her selfishness.
So in the respect that all teenagers are selfish, she is well-written. And like I said, I don't want to spoil the end of the first season, but I was just infuriated when I got to the last episode. In a well-written, I can't believe this is fucking happening, but it totally makes sense type
of way. So literally, there's a lot of racial undercurrent there because essentially this follows a murder.
No, don't spoil it. Don't.
I'm sorry. Okay.
What are you going to say? What?
Well, it's something you don't see very often where it's dealing with Native Americans and sort of the what it's like growing up in a small town with, you know, a bunch of white people and like a couple Native Americans and just how there's sort of a difference in how they're treated.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I'll say.
And it's just, it's hard to watch. That's all I'll say. Like, it's
pretty, like I was surprised how it was both willing to go really dark for a show that could appeal to kids, but also it didn't go too far. Like it struck a really interesting balance there.
Yeah, I could imagine like somebody thinking like, oh, I'm gonna watch this with my kids, and at the end like, fuck, I guess I gotta explain racism now.
I'm glad you liked it. I have to rewatch like the last two episodes because I'm not gonna we started episode one and I was like, who's this? Like, what happened again? I don't remember.
They don't do a recap at the beginning?
I don't remember. It's been that long since I tried to watch season or episode one.
Of season two.
Also, talking about Apple TV shows. I started the second season of Morning Show.
Yeah.
And?
I literally didn't get that far. Because I had a margarita in me already. So I wasn't in a watching mood. But B.
What kind of mood were you in?
It started in watching something old as opposed to something new.
Your margaritas are boring. I'm sorry. Continue.
Anyway. What the fuck was I talking about?
Morning show. Boring margaritas.
Season two or something.
All right. Morning show. Oh, yeah. So essentially, here's the most confusing thing. So at the end of season one, something happened. And at the very beginning of season two, it seems to pick up exactly where that left off. Right, but then it has this fucking confusing title that says 8 months earlier, except it cuts to what is clearly several, like a year or plus after that scene we were just in. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? How was this 8 months earlier? 8 months earlier from what? And then
from
we got
that season.
And then it wasn't though. Not it was quite. Later.
No, yeah, Jammer's right. The beginning's a little confusing because it looks like it's starting from the very end of the last show, but it doesn't actually, Jammer. What they show is I'm up to date at the moment, and what they do is they show you New York, and then it says 3 months earlier. So basically, this whole season is set just before Christmas. And I believe it's 9 months after the end of the first season, but they do this jump forward and then they do a jump back because it's pre-COVID. So it starts in January and there's this little bit of information about something happening in China. And then as the season's going on, it's getting closer and closer to the zombie apocalypse that you guys had in the US as far as when New York was completely locked down. So they do so a little
saying
bit of a
8 months. It's saying like 8 months earlier compared to, or however many months earlier compared to what the present of the rest of the show is. Essentially.
No, the rest of the season. What you're watching is 9 months after season one, but they then jump 3 months later and then quickly jump back again. So yeah, it's 9 months. The show is set 9 months after the first season, but they do this little jump back to say, okay, this is how it all leads up to New York being a ghost town. This is what
got happens. It. So got it. Thank you. This is incredibly confusing.
If you watch the first episode, it will make sense, as in all the way through it. Yeah. It does clearly show what's happened. I don't want to say anything because it will ruin about what's going on in the story, but it's basically the show is set in the 3 months, 4 months leading up to March 2020 or 2019.
Whenever I will say, I appreciate your explanation, but it did not help at all. But I'm glad to know.
Right?
Exactly.
You're complaining about something that you've watched like 15 minutes or something. You're like, that didn't make any sense.
Sounds just like Nick Dahl.
An episode.
I Nick Dahl'd it.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. The acting and the script and story. The script.
It felt like I was watching a Nolan movie.
It's Mimi Leder. She seems to be doing all of them. I didn't know she'd done the whole season. It looks like she's done certainly done the first four episodes.
Who?
Mimi Leder.
What else has she done?
I'm trying to remember. She did a couple of feature films, and she trying to remember which one she did.
I'll take a look.
You'll find it. One of them.
But as we're talking about that, so I really enjoyed watching Corey Ellison work in the episodes that I've seen thus far.
Oh, he's so good. That guy is just like, I'm trying to think of what comparison.
I can't think.
But I don't know. He's just so like, he's very fun to watch. You never know his alliances.
Nope.
And you know, he's either A, going for the most entertaining thing, or B, going for something that'll just incite the most chaos, or the thing that'll benefit him. A lot of times it's all usually that'll benefit him, but even like, I don't know. I was expecting the show to start off with him as like, I'm not going to say, but the beginning of what I saw just surprised me with how they started his character with the season.
Okay. It's when you get a couple of episodes in, it's wonderful just how self-referential this show is when it comes to Apple and what's going on in the world at the moment. It's brilliant. Yeah. But I think it's really well written. I'm enjoying it.
That's good. Fun. That makes me happy because season one was amazing. Like, I loved it. Yeah. It was like one of the best seasons of television, maybe top 10 for me ever.
Wow.
Maybe even higher than that. I don't know. But it was really good. So I highly recommend it, Nick Dahl.
Yes, Nicholas Dolph.
Are we done with the Apple TV?
We're still all waiting for our
sucking MacBook. Off my least favorite corporation in the world.
I mean, are you saying that Disney isn't one of your least favorites too? I mean, come on. They don't pay their writers. They don't fucking pay their cast. They don't renegotiate their contracts when shit changes. But don't act like Apple is.
Why are you what if like? Why are you what aboutism me when we could just be talking about how bad Apple is? You're doing the whole what aboutisms.
I am.
Ooh.
What about this one? What about this one?
Because I know you support one and not the other.
It's like you said earlier. Why would I watch something that might be crap when I have other good stuff on my list?
Because it's amazing.
I know, but I have lots of amazing shows on my list.
We're all saying it's not crap. We're all saying it's not crap.
Just don't have time.
It's not the word of one person.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about Venom 2 where all of us are like, ah, shit. And he's like, maybe I'll watch it. And then it's like, and then I found something better to do. I was like, no, this is universally good. So.
Well, those of that have seen it, Jammer and I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll watch it when it comes out on like Amazon or whatever.
Listen, that's 90 minutes of your life that you could spend doing something.
But it's such a short amount of time.
Won't feel like it.
Is it like a Cookie Monster?
Here, comparatively.
I've seen it too.
So here we've got two Naomi Harris movies, right? So she's Shriek in Venom 2. She is Moneypenny in James Bond. One of those movies is 2 hours and 45 minutes and it fucking sails by. The other one is 90 minutes and it feels it feels like I'm having way.
I don't think I've ever watched a James Bond movie that sailed by. I think even Casino Royale was so fucking long.
Sailed by. No. This is the fastest long ass movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like
is it faster than Endgame?
Yes.
Yes.
I would say it went faster than Endgame.
That is high praise because
Endgame, here's the reason why. Like, I think it's because I think Endgame has multiple endings. no pun intended. This is like fucking the end, done. And there is something about it that it just, it moves. I've seen people have commentary about this movie moving slow. So here, let me do this. Hello and welcome to the Brick and Geek podcast. We've just concluded our Apple TV.
I don't even think you got the title right. I think you just said the Breaking Geek podcast. I don't think you said the whole title right.
Whatever.
Who cares? We're in it.
Who cares? Who cares? We're already there. No one would have noticed had you not said anything. You'd be like, oh.
No. Someone would have noticed. If I curated my audience enough, they would have noticed.
But they would have said shit about it.
Doubt it.
Welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. The premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online. We've just completed our Apple TV Plus suck off hours, Nick Dahl calls it. And we're going to transition into, do you want to do news or you want to talk about Bond? Like, we've already done Bond. We can do something weird, right? We can talk about Bond, then we can talk about news, then we can talk about Squid.
Okay.
You want to be fucking crazy? It's Friday. Let's get crazy.
All right.
You want to get nuts?
I'll get nuts.
Let's get nuts. Let's do it.
That's a lot of nuts.
So, God damn it. Me and Nick are on the same wavelength. You come in with some weird bullshit. Anyway.
Kung Pao into the Fist. Classic.
Oh, my God. It's not, though.
Not Batman.
It's awful. I agree. Oh, God. But that doesn't make it, you know, not entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, No Time to Die. As I already said, it's 2 hours and 43 minutes. It has a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 70% on Metacritic. All right. So this is the film that we're running into, talking about. Danny already did like a spoiler-free impression of this film. I think it's, you know, at this point, and that was because most of the U.S. had not had a chance to see it, and because he lives in parts unknown some of the time, he got an opportunity to see this movie. But now that the U.S. is opening up and getting to see this movie finally, when was this movie originally supposed to come out? It was last
November 2019. No, 2019.
What? And then they
pushed it
to
April. Before COVID, they already pushed it to April for some reason. And then the COVID delays started happening.
Okay. So we've been waiting for this movie for a while. And Danny, remind me, what were your general impressions of this movie?
I thought it was great. I actually really, really enjoyed how it was filmed. I thought all the characters were exactly how they should be. I was wary to mention about how individual characters were and how they were used and stuff, but I did say that it was a James Bond film and that he was the main character, obviously, but I do feel that all the other characters were used as much as they should have done. I was really impressed with everything, particularly the action stuff as well. And when I saw it in IMAX, I thought the scenes, the big scenes, the big camera scenes looked even better. So overall, I thought it was great. I thought it was a wonderful wrap up to the Daniel Craig films. And I thought it was showed some wonderful growth in his character too, which is something we've not seen in a Bond film before or in a series of Bond films before. So from that respect, I thought it was fantastic. I still think it's my favorite. I was a bit wary that I was a little bit too overexcited. But on second viewing, I thought, nope, still there. Still that one first. And then Casino Royale, Skyfall, Spectre, Quantum. That's still my list now. Yeah.
I wouldn't even name those movies.
Let me give you kudos, first of all, for saying wary instead of weary. I really appreciate your accuracy in language there, unlike the accuracy I'll
you're
just
like
display
a walking talking Grammarly these last few episodes, just like
yep.
It's fantastic, but not really.
Just it is really, though, damn it. Once again, the audience loves it. They love
proof for it didn't happen.
I'm so glad you guys have seen it now, because I want to talk about it a lot more. I'm super excited about it, but now we can delve into the things that I didn't want to say anything about, see if you agree, disagree.
Let's do it.
Go for it.
I'm going to set the scene for you guys. So I've seen it twice, and the first time doesn't really matter. Seen it twice.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
I only saw it once so far. You cannot guess.
So I've never been to an LML draft house. This is my first movie in an LML draft house. Let me tell you, never fucking going back. Let me tell you why.
Oh.
Food, really good. Service, really good. They do like this weird movie thing where they're like, here's all the stuff that you didn't know about the movie. It's not like trivia. Like somebody actually splices together really cool movies and stuff and finds like obscure content. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when Shang-Chi was happening, they had like a whole thing of like showing clips from other Wuxia movies and stuff from like the past and really making it
good stuff. Here's the thing. When the movie starts, there are lights underneath your table, right? So the servers can like scuttle by.
Like, also, see your menu and stuff.
Yes, you can see your menu, scuttle by, you can write stuff down, right? All of that stuff. Not my problem. That wasn't the problem. The persistent light, kind of annoying. Persistent light allowed me to see the guy two seats down who is picking his feet the entire fucking movie. 2 hours and 45 minutes of some like gargantuan motherfucker like picking his hobbit sized feet. And it was not like just picking at his feet.
He
the dude two seats down.
Sounds to me like you should have complained. You should have put up your card and said, get this fucker to stop picking his goddamn feet.
So you know how like you run a lot or your feet dry out and you get like that crust, and then that crust can create like a scar or something like where your skin. So that's what he's picking at. And then of course he's like rubbing his face and touching his food. And I'm just like, I hate it here.
Yeah.
And so I had to take my stainless steel popcorn bowl and move it to the cup holder. So it blocked my peripheral vision of him digging into his goddamn toe scar. Cause it was, like I said, 2 hours and 45 minutes of this bullshit. Anyway, I've never doing that again. Never, ever going back.
That's a very, very specific problem. That's specific shit. Like that was a fluke. That wasn't a normal situation.
So here's the crazy thing. Having seen James Bond twice this week, you know what else I saw when I went to see
the fucking IMAX guy again? First time,
there was another guy who had like, they were three seats down and they had their feet on the seat like two seats down from me. And so while they weren't close enough for me to like touch, there was this white, you know, like Keds looking motherfucking feet right next to my head. And it's just like, I just want to go back here and punch the shit out of you. And it's just like feet. I don't understand why this movie is associated with feet. I'm very upset. I'm very angry about it.
There's a solution to this problem. I gave it to you already. Put your fucking card up. Tell them to put their goddamn feet down. Very simple.
The worst Alamo Drafthouse experience just from this movie. We were supposed to be in the big show, you know, like the big screen. They have this like their version of IMAX, which is why they didn't get it until Thursday, because only IMAX got it. It was broken. So they put us into different auditoriums and just random seats. And then the lights came on early three times for like 10 minutes at a time. Still, the only chain I'll ever go to is Alamo Drafthouse. That's why I wouldn't see it on Wednesday on IMAX.
Go see it on IMAX because you didn't fucking know.
But then you told me I could have easily bought tickets and gone.
I told you twice.
I know, but then I don't do AMC Regal or and the only AMCs have the IMAX. That's my least favorite chain.
Listen, I love how you're replacing your inability to Google stuff with like, I only go to this one particular place.
No, but then I looked it up and then you were right. And I was like, it is on IMAX, but that's not my theater. So I'm not going to see it on IMAX.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say about the Alamo Drafthouse. Loudest fucking speakers I have ever heard. I don't know if it was just the gunshots in this particular movie.
I don't know. Cinemark is pretty good too.
There were three different deafening scenes for Bond in this movie. And I was like, I can't fucking hear anything. Not from the sound design of those specific scenes, but just like different scenes of guns going off. I was like, I can't hear shit. It's loud. Anyway, looked amazing. Sounded amazing. Danny, what specifically did you want to talk about with this movie, now that I've complained about Alamo Drafthouse and Footboy?
I guess it's really up to you guys, but okay, I would like to know what you guys felt about the actual character of Bond in this one and how much he had to say, which obviously sounds crazy when you say it out loud, but in this one he did seem to open up a lot more as the character, and that's one of the things I loved about this film, was the progression of him from Casino Royale to this one. And I wanted to know what you guys felt about that, because I've heard that it was too much. Bond was talking too much. He was too much of a human.
Bond
so
was
speak.
Talking.
Well, he's older.
I know, it sounds crazy, Jammer. But yeah, he's older, right? I felt that was a natural progression for him. And he'd retired. Spoilers. Yeah. Spoilers.
Well, that's the opening.
We're in spoilers. So I agree with you. I agree. Generally, he did talk more. Did he talk too much? No. Nope. I think that he is a very different person from the first movie. Because I would say based on the time jump, it's been 20 years, right? At
yeah.
least.
Yeah. 1996.
20 years of bondage.
2006 to with the 5-year jump, which kind of matches the jump.
15 years. Oh, I guess movies. 20 years of him.
Yeah, 20 plus years. And so I think that it makes sense that he's a different person than he was then. I enjoyed the amount that he did talk. And one of the things
Star Wars fans disagree. They disagree.
Fuck them.
Fucking anyway. Luke Skywalker should have been drinking green milk. He shouldn't have been, you know, so growing in the wrong
Thanks for
direction.
Derailing me on that, because here's what I will say about that. The fact that that scene was in the movie and not him grieving Han Solo is my problem with that movie.
Okay.
So fair. That and Canto Bite are like whatever. Anyway, his expressions in this movie were awesome. Like there were little faces that he made that just made me chuckle. Like the scene where he knocks Cyclops's eye out on the bridge and the eye goes rolling down the stairs and he kind of leans over the part the obstruction to see the eye. And he's like, huh. Like he doesn't make a sound, but that's the face. It was like, huh. And I just like, I laughed out loud. There were consistencies where he did that. Or like little things where when he was talking to Felix before the explosion happened, when he was about to say like, you know, even leading up to that, to the explosion where he's saying to Felix, like, you know, I got this fucking cigar for you. You're going to smoke it. And like, he's having a conversation with somebody that he obviously cares about. And then he says, we got to stop meeting. Like, and before he can even say it, the explosion happens. But all of those little interactions, I really enjoyed.
Me too.
It shows me that he's really made this character his own. And I think that it really does show someone who has changed over the years. Like, I swear, I think it was Muhammad Ali that said this, and I could be wrong. Like, if you spent any period of time, you know, like 10, 20 years being the same person as you were 10 or 20 years before, you wasted your life. So I like that he's a very different person.
And it would do that.
That's a Star Wars fan.
He does. His role for England would do that to you. The things he's been through would change you. And then after that retirement and everything he's lost, you would feel that he would be a little bit, not that he's so relaxed in his job, but you get the feeling that he's so much more like, oh, you know, this shit is going to happen. I've seen lots of weird shit in my life. That's just another weird
part of this job. Remind me of.
I only smile about it. It's wonderful. And I can't help but feel that that's one of the reasons why he eventually did this movie, when I think he was going to do it anyway. But I think he was so invested in this himself. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a lot of Daniel Craig's input in it, that he wants to show that the character would change.
He was a producer on this one, and I don't know what that means, given that, you know, given what this franchise is, I don't know what it means for him to be a producer on it. Like what role, like what input, like what you're talking about. But it definitely feels like he is a different person, but in a good way, like the way that you would expect someone to evolve.
Is this Cary Joji Fukunaga one?
Yes.
He directed it.
It's co-written, and you can tell very, very well it's co-written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, because her humor is all over it in like the best way possible. Like it's hilarious, but it never feels like they're being too funny.
Yeah.
Same with the character development things. It feels like something she wrote.
It's funny without being silly.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy.
Like it's really clever
humor
a lot of the times, where you're like, it's a few seconds. Ah.
Yeah, they had like great one-liners back and forth, or great like very short setups for very quick punchline, like the scene where Nomi and Bond are walking through the hall and people are referring to her as 007. And she's like, oh, you know, that's really got to bother you. And then he goes into the room with M, and
she's not allowed in.
Yeah, she's not allowed in. And just he's like, oh, I'm sorry, this really got to bother you. And he shuts the door in her face. And it was just like, it was such a quick setup, flash to bang, that I really liked that.
Or even joke, like when he's given 00 back and she's obsessed with which number
yeah, which number
getting? which number because I'm 007, which number.
Yeah, it was so good. I really enjoyed the humor in this movie. I guess, Danny, the question I had for you was, so again, spoilers, this is his last movie. Actually, before we get there, I want to talk about something. So you would not tell me what you thought about Rami Malek. I had to pull it out of you And what's funny about that was somebody last night asked me what I thought about the movie. And I swear word for word, I almost repeated what you said until I realized it is what you said. I think I started to say like, he did the best he could with what he was. And then like, I could hear your voice in my head as I said it. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah, you're right.
Can I hop out for like 10 minutes? I haven't seen this movie yet and I don't want to be spoiled on whatever you're about to say.
Okay. So I don't know
that someone ping me on Slack when you're ready to come back. So, cause I can't mute Zoom. So ping me on Slack.
Okay. The reason why I would rate this behind either Skyfall or Casino Royale is because I don't think he was as good as the villains in those movies, but it's not his fault. I don't think they gave him enough to do. He was just a backstory. He was a backstory and a plot device, and I did not connect with him the same way I did with Javier Bardem or Lashif.
Yeah,
I just didn't. I thought that they were fantastic villains, even in terms of their motivation. And I feel like with these movies, you're only as good as your villain. And he just fell short of that. And again, not his fault. I thought his character was well acted, sufficiently menacing, but it just, it didn't come together in the right way. So
I would say, go
Nick. No, go ahead, buddy.
One of my I don't know what I'd change to get more of him, but yeah, I'd like to see more of the villain before the third act. Usually in Bond, you do see a lot of the villain. He's like Javier Bardem, Alec Trevelyan, they're like bouncing off each other the entire movie sort of thing. Because he was just a big mystery. And then when you do kind of meet who he is, it's like, oh, he is kind of has a connection to her and he hates Spectre, but he wants to destroy Spectre. And he wants to kill, I don't even explain why he wants to.
Kill everyone? No. Yeah. So I could rationalize.
I was wondering that most of the way through, but it was there was a line at the end given by, I think it was the guy, the one-eyed Cyclops. Bandit. I think he said, I think he had said that the first buyers are arriving soon. So it then just became, he's got this, he wants to, cleanse the planet, whatever. But as always, it's about power and or money.
Yeah,
so I think that was a very generic ending. He was selling it to whoever was paying
that money. I heard that line, but it did not seem to match up with what he was saying.
With what he had said, right?
Yeah. Like that whole thing about I'm going to be a god and I'm going to cleanse this earth and this is what people really want. And that, like the fact that he's just going for money.
And that was never mentioned again. The buyers were never mentioned again. Those boats on their way there were never mentioned again. I do feel that was a storyline, a subplot that was taken out in order to maybe keep the runtime down or to make the villain more Thanos kind of approach rather than just money. But that line maybe needed to stay in it because of what else was said in that scene as well. I can't remember because it seemed to be so random and wasn't addressed before or ever again.
Buyers everything on their else way. Was more interesting, like the daughter and like everything else the villain was doing, like just taking the ones he loved was more interesting than his like, and now I'm going to destroy the world.
Yeah, and I feel like that explanation about the money could have been addressed in that dialogue between the two of them. Like, no, you're really just like, don't pretend like you're some sanctimonious whatever. You're just doing this for money. And he almost got there when he's saying like, you're just in the long line of angry little men. I feel like that would have been the moment to clarify, like, don't fucking preach to me about your bullshit. You're only doing this for the money.
And I have two legit questions.
Too legit to quit?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, too legit to quit. When he touches her arms and gets the stuff on his hands, it's like he's already coated in it before a set scene.
Yep.
So why does it matter? And then what? Why can't he see her again at the end?
So there should have been at least three times that he got it on him. There was the time when they tried to gas him in the beginning. There was the time when he touched her hand. And then that's the scene where you're talking about. I think the reason why at the end is because it was specifically coded for her. And
the most recent version.
So remember when he meets her the first time in her office or in her office, he has the hair and he wraps it up.
Oh, yeah.
So then when they get to the islands, he's talking to the Russians.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking to the Russian scientists. Hey, did you get me the thing that I wanted? And so that's the thing. And he's like, this is insurance. This is, you know, it can harm you. It can harm even you. And then she's like, oh, you got to threaten a little girl. So I understood that. But to your earlier, to the other part of your question, I don't know why after being coded three times, like, I don't know. Maybe there was just something. I don't know. That part is strange.
Yeah, I just go back to the villain part. I think now is why I was hesitant to say that he about him, because he wasn't bad. I think he did exactly what he needed to do. And the overall grand scheme of things, he was generic villain. It wasn't, could have been anybody, didn't need to be Rami Malek. I think he did a great job in the role he was given and the amount of screen time stroke script he was given. I completely understand and agree with what you're saying, but I'm okay with it. It's not a real big issue for me because of how much it allowed Bond to be in his own movie and have his character progression. So I think it was a trade-off that I'm happy with. I understand what you mean about Le Chiffre and Javier Bardem's one, but I think in this film, I wanted the Bond and I was happy it was generic villain.
I don't think it doesn't bother me, but it's like the thing that makes this, like, they are the things that made those movies like a 95 out of 100 versus this where it's like an 89 or an 88. Like it's just like, it's not like he made the movie worse.
Yeah.
It just,
no, gotcha.
Yeah. So before we move on, I actually have to pause as well. I have to pick up my kids. They just go to the bus stop. So in like 7 minutes, they'll be there. So do you guys want to take a tactical pause and call Jammer back, or do we have more to talk about?
I just wanted to, if we could,
I want to mention how wonderful it was to see in a James Bond film, the secret island lair.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It's
been a while.
It was a secret island lair. We haven't seen one of those
Silva kind of had an island.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. So
but he wasn't in, he wasn't only on it when he got captured the first time. And then, Blofeld had the typical looking Bond base, but
yeah,
that movie was terrible.
This movie felt like, in a lot of ways, a throwback to, like, they're like, all right, this is the last one, we're gonna give you all of that stuff.
How did you feel about the musical notes that Hans Zimmer was using?
Oh, they were good. I was actually
from other
movies. Yeah.
It gave me the jellies. I thought, oh, wonderful. Hopefully they're gonna do this all the way through, because it wasn't that subtle. It was quite clear. Nick, have you seen any of the, or read any of the more negative comments that were kind of floating around before you went to see the film?
No, I didn't even look at the reviews when I went to see the film. I knew that a lot of people on Twitter said yes, I loved it, and that you loved it, and Jonesy was really excited. I wasn't excited. I was like, I had to go to the movies. And the minute I was sitting down in my theater, I'm like, I'm seeing a fucking James Bond movie. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I was really worried about the runtime.
Some of the criticism I've since read and scanned over a few of them was the female characters in it were once again being objectified, et cetera, et cetera. But it kind of frustrates me, being someone that's, as I am, is just a film fan, that I didn't see the female characters like that. I saw all the female characters in this film as good, strong characters, fucking capable and fucking strong and fucking intelligent and everything that anybody would or could be. I didn't see any way that they were being exploited in any way. When they were in Cuba and she was in her dress, and it's like, because they were going to a ball, and it was one of those balls that where the men get in tuxedos and the women wear dresses that they want to wear. So it completely fit. What did they expect for her to go in combat fatigues and stuff and look like she's prepared for a violent? I don't understand. Because then the character herself was fucking capable and so much fun. I think
just
she was
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just 3 weeks.
Yeah, clearly it wasn't right. So she was having a bit of fun. Her character was like, yeah, don't be a dickhead, James Bond. They wouldn't send someone that only had 3 weeks. I had 3 weeks to learn how to use this machine gun, but I've been training for 10 years. That kind of thing, right? She was more than capable and super smart. And Ad had some of them, that was some of the best comedy in one like section, in the Cuba section, in the whole film. And I was like, what film are you guys watching? The new 007 was strong and capable. the Cuban agent was strong and capable woman. I really didn't understand any of that. Did you see any of that? Did I miss something?
The only time it felt weird. Well, she's coming on to him, but he tries to kiss her or whatever. That was okay. But he kind of pulls a Han Solo / Indiana Jones when he's kissing his wife or fiance or whatever again, where she's like, no, James.
His special friend, his long-term special
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But otherwise, I think Daniel Craig has intentionally done a lot of work and put a lot of input into getting Bond out of the world of I sleep with a new woman every movie. Yep. Like,
yeah, for
he
sure.
slept with someone his age, I think, Inspector. And then he married, like, he fell in love with this chick. And in this movie, yep. It's like Ethan Hunt. Ethan Hunt doesn't sleep around. He slept with one woman and then, like, his wife. And then he doesn't sleep with anyone in the most recent movies.
Absolutely. It's just, and again, that would be a progression of a character, right? He was in, early 30s in Casino Royale. I'm guessing we're looking around about that age. Fresh agent, he was single. Of course he's going to take advantage of these moments and these opportunities.
And then but Vesper kind of made him later, into that also.
Yeah.
Like, remember, he learned from Vesper not to love and just be like the classic Bond.
And then he went, then he fell in love again. So I think all these things were natural progressions for, you're absolutely right, with Daniel Craig and the character and the times we live in. But also in the sense that the script gave the female actors and characters great parts. They weren't just bit parts. They weren't just eye candy. They weren't just to tick boxes. I thought they were all great. This is why the reason when last week I said I think all the supporting actors, male and female, I think they did a really good job in making this a really great film, but giving James Bond forefront. It was his film and he was the main one, which is why, I'm not that fussed about the film. But even, the first ever James Bond F-bomb was perfectly delivered with perfect timing, with a perfect accent when you've got him doing it. It was just wonderful. It just sounded so natural. That's exactly how we would use that word in that moment. And that's exactly what you would say. Oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's it. That was it. Wonderful. I thought it was wonderful. What was the end?
What did you think?
Well, just one more thing on it, on the action side of it. Yeah. It was wonderful for me to see James Bond have a corridor scene where, it was that one, in this case, it was a stairwell scene, right? When he's trying to get up to the engine room or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And to have that scene and to make it look and feel like it was all shot in one shot, and there was a few that were long shots, was brilliant again. It's something we haven't seen in Bond before. We saw the chase in Casino Royale, but that was obviously cut and edited. But this was great. I really enjoyed it. And I could see what was going on. And you could see the frustration when he had to go back up again. Oh, fuck's sake, that's a lot of stairs.
It was really beautifully shot and choreographed.
Yes.
Compared to, like, even like the first time I realized it was beautifully shot is when we're upside down in the hallway when they're breaking in. And then the camera flips. Yes. Yeah, and you're like, oh. But
The bit that I've really, really felt more, the IMAX experience a lot more, was obviously the exterior stuff, but the chase in the Land Rovers, the 4x4s, when they first escape her house, and then that goes into the forest and he's picking them off one by one like the Predator. He's setting up these little traps. It was such a wonderful way to show his skills as an agent, but also thinking on his feet, but also to have different action scenes and
different types.
Environments and things. It was great. I really enjoyed that.
I'm like, I'm sure 007, the other one, doesn't show up on a motorcycle. I'm like, what if one of the people he decapitates is like her coming to the rescue? When he was doing the thing with the motorcycle and taking the cord, I'm like, God, I hope that's not 007 trying to help him on that motorcycle.
Yeah, explain that one away. No one was around to see it.
Whoops. I guess I am 007 again.
The ending. My brother, the one in the UK, he was really pissed off with the ending. He said it was unnecessary. I had to disagree with him, but I'd like to know what you thought.
I loved it. It packed a huge punch. I was crying. Like,
I
cry at movies. I was crying. Because why not? Well, I can just say it. We're in superior spoiler territory. Why not kill off James Bond at the end of an actor's run? Don't do it every time, but I hear the only post-credit sequence is James Bond will return. It's not like we're done.
That's a famous line, and that's something a lot of people are waiting for. It's always there.
It's a bigger deal in this movie you know, because you're like, are we going to switch to like just do female 007, but not James Bond? Or
I was, I have to say, I actually called it with about 30 minutes to go. I leant over to the person I was watching it with, and they didn't mind that I was going to spoil. I said, Bond is going to die. And they looked at me and said, no way. I said, yeah. And I said, but let's see how they do it. And obviously we didn't know, but I knew this was the way it was going to happen. Not
I'd heard rumors.
But I think it was done wonderfully. I always, I'm the same as you, Nick. When there's some sort of mix of emotion, it's usually the music that fucking drives it. And I love it.
Or other characters sometimes.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always
like seeing them all toast. James Bond.
That's it, like, yeah. I always lean forward and I'm always then putting out. And I have to admit, I had a tear in my eye too, because it was done so well. He had come full circle as a character. He had got everything that he didn't know he wanted a daughter, but you could tell in that first scene when he met her, he knew he was hers, that that it was like, this is great for him. But he also understood that this is the sacrifice he's got to make, and he's okay with that. And if he's okay with that, then we should be okay with it too.
And technically, so that's his job every movie, or even Tom, like Ethan Hunt. It's like, they're there to make the sacrifice if they have to.
Yep.
I mean, they don't know all these action scenes or stunts are going to go correctly. Like within the movie, I mean, like the character. Tom Cruise doesn't know if he's going to survive flying a helicopter into another helicopter. It's like, they're there to save the world no matter what the cost.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see that actually pay off in a way. Before, I wanted them to kill off Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 8, but now I don't want them to do it in both franchises.
No, I don't think they will in this one, but in that one. But I think it was well deserved. And even the ending when they just chinked his glass and said, right, back to work, because that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah.
You know, the bad guys are not going to settle down and you just move on. I honestly feel that it was the only way they could have ended it, but they did it with him dying, but they did it in such a way that was very satisfying and gratifying. I think it was, great. Thoroughly enjoyed it. What would be your score for this thing? I gave it an A.
I would give it an A.
Yep.
Not a plus, not a minus, an A. Because I do think think I still like Skyfall better.
Oh, really?
Skyfall is definitely actually my favorite, even over Casino Royale by a long shot, because of Silva, aka Javier Bardem, is just such a good villain. And in that, they kill off a main character too that just has never been killed in James Bond before.
Yeah,
when they kill off M. And you can see like that one too, it kind of feels like this, where it was trying to wrap up so many cool Bond aspects, not like it wasn't an anniversary or something. So like he had the old school car back, and you saw his house he grew up in for the first time.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was wonderful. I think anyone that's listening to this that has, but still listen, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, well, then we've just fucking ruined it for you by talking about daughters and deaths. But if you're thinking about watching it again, then definitely go watch it on the IMAX and get an experience with just how well it was shot and how well it was framed and how wonderful the director did with the action scenes and stuff. Yeah, thoroughly recommended.
Absolutely.
Should we let Jammer back in?
I don't know if we can.
Oh, we haven't got the power.
I don't think we do.
Only Jones has got the power.
So I guess I'll have to cut this.
Well, do you want to go into some of the new stuff, Nick? I mean, we saw the selection that we had. Do you want to touch on some of that?
Sure. We can do some of that. Let's see.
Because you may have more input onto it than actually I have, because there was some stuff around Star Wars, the Obi-Wan show. Apparently some stuff was leaked, or not leaked, or it was given to us about a fight scene between Obi-Wan and Anakin. Did you see that?
Yeah, I got the list. Do you want to do that one without them? It's hard to pick which one to do.
Or we could talk about the release of the Lego Titanic that I sent across that I think everybody should be interested in.
You could. Hold on.
You go ahead, buddy. Pick one. Pick one of those stories, my friend.
Well, I'm not doing House of the Dragon without them, because I don't give a shit.
Being it's just you and me at the moment, should we both just say I couldn't give two shits about that either? I've got no interest in it at all.
Did you watch Game of Thrones? I forgot.
I didn't. I did. Except I haven't watched the last season.
Because you've heard. I haven't. I stopped when Pedro Pascal got his head bashed in.
His eyes gouged out.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't. I was at that stage when I was watching shows where I wanted, it was being released. We weren't getting it all in one go. We were getting it weekly, right? Mm-hmm. And up to that point, I was watching Game of Thrones, binge watching. And I thought, right, I'm going to avoid all, however many episodes there were, 6 or 7, I think, of the last season. I might be wrong. Doesn't matter. I was avoiding watching so I could binge watch. But by the time the last episode came out, I had heard and seen so much negative stuff about how it was going and how it then ended. I then was just like, I don't think I want to ruin this thing for myself. I think I'm going to stick with my headcanon about how it ends and not actually have the series ruin it for me. So I didn't even see the last season. I have no idea. What about you?
Nah, like I said, I only watched, I think, end of the 4th season, because I think the episode Pedro Pascal dies.
Oh, okay. Well, but then that explains why you and I have got absolutely no interest in this this show then. Hopefully Jonesy and Jammer, if we can ever let Jammer back in, we'll be able to do it. I think we should have got Jonesy to make one of us the host before he jumped off.
Yeah, I think that's why he wanted to let Jammer in before he left. I screwed that up.
Bless him. So what else was in the news, Nick?
Excuse me. I'm trying to think of one that's not on the list in case they want to discuss things on. I'm dying. Sorry, everybody. I'm feeling a little sick today.
What's the other what's the other James Gunn project for DC? I've got no idea about that.
I don't think we know yet. I'm looking at it because I saw that news earlier this week. Yeah, all he said is, yes, I'm developing another DC project besides Peacemaker. I don't think he's even going to, let's see. I don't think it's even going to be announced. Isn't DC Fandom this weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend, I think it's 20 something. So it's next weekend. Okay. Here's one that I know you're going to be able to tell me because I'm not too fussed about this either. The WandaVision spinoff.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for that.
Fuck's
That's
sake.
Probably my why? Favorite piece of news all week.
Why? Tell me why.
It's not even the character as much. It's Catherine Hahn was such a delight. If you guys want to say anything, we already talked about House of the Dragon that none of us give a shit. So you guys have any positive things you want to say?
I too give no shits about House of the Dragon. Like, I didn't even watch the trailer.
Then you die. About
you so say
Jammer, you picked listen, it. Do you give shits?
If you say got milk, like you get better say it quick, right? Because I give no shits about anything got related.
What? What is that? What
got milk?
I'm
GOT
saying
milk.
GOT Game of Thrones Nick milk. Gets it.
I'm with it. I'm youthful.
I think we made Jammer. I think we've broken Jammer.
Listen, here's the thing. We have disagreed about this for as long as we've been podcasting. Like, I think endings matter, and that ending being so bad means I care nothing about a prequel series for this.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Jammer?
I'm one of those few people who thinks Game of Thrones, the series, is just boring from season one on. And I only got to around season 6.5 before I was just like, and then I kind of dropped it.
That's how you guys have been to King's Landing.
How far? Yes. How late is that? I've only been to season 4.
Good for. Was it more of a boring experience than the show?
It was actually pretty cool. So I got to walk around. I got to see where they were shaming Cersei.
Shame.
Yeah, shame. So Rebecca
from Ted Lasso.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I know stuff too, Jammer. I know you thought you were about to drop some knowledge. I got knowledge.
You said it before.
Damn it.
Then we already talked a little bit about James Gunn's project that basically no one knows what it is. And I think they even said he wouldn't reveal it at Fandom.
Which is next. So early. What do you guys think it is? Any thoughts? What is a James Gunn-esque DC property? Nick, I feel like you would know of all of us.
Lobo. I want it to be Lobo.
Oh, fuck. That'd be cool.
Would it though?
I've read the Lobo script they had at Warner Brothers when I was there. And it was a kidsy Lobo teams up with like a teenage girl to like find an artifact on the earth. I think James Gunn would make Lobo really cool.
Yeah.
What if Superman?
He doesn't do any like individual projects, right? Like everything that we've seen of him relatively recently has been some ensemble sort of team. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, what if they got him? Don't put him in a box.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. What if they got him onto Superman this time, which is what they wanted him to do originally?
Which one?
Interesting.
I would hope a Man of Steel 2 type movie.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Especially since he's like, I don't think he did he write Brightborn or just produce it? Because he's kind of already done a Superman twist.
Did he write what?
Brightborn.
Oh, Brightborn. Well,
with the Superman kid who's like born. Well, but like,
to be clear, I didn't hear what you, I couldn't understand what you said. It wasn't that I don't know what Brightborn is.
Well, the audience might not know.
Is it Brightborn or Brightburn?
Brightburn. See, I didn't even know.
It would help if you guys said the name of the right movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just to be clear.
Otherwise, I don't know. Like, there's so much stuff that's a good fit for him at DC. Like, I'd love to see more super obscure characters. Like, he gave us Polka Dot Man and Peacemaker. Give me Condiment King and Kite Man movie.
I think he could do a great Superman movie. As a matter of fact, I think he would have been a better Batman v Superman director than Zack Snyder.
What about his first choice was Batman, but Matt Reeves is doing it. What if he did someone in the Bat family?
Eh.
So he could actually do the Bat family.
Ooh, what if he does what the fuck's that guy's name? It's not his name. I'm thinking Red Skull. Red Hood, that's it. What if he did Red Hood?
So that's what I was saying, the That'd Bat family. Like, I think that if they did basically the Gotham City game that's coming out.
Batman's missing. All we have left is like, we had to come together, even though we have disagreements about the way we approach it. That's that would be awesome.
That's it.
I like that. That'd be good.
We did it.
I hate calling it the Bat Family. I hate it.
Well, you would. That's just what he calls it. It's called that.
I know. I know what they call it. I still hate it.
You call it Gotham Knights, like the video game. That's what you call it.
Yep. So I think that would be a great project for him. So you get the ensembleness, then you actually get to see all of these characters that you've been asking to see. And what they could really do with it, if they were going to do it right, is pull the same people from like the HBO Max shows that they're going to do. Yeah. So Batgirl from that. And that way you've got the same continuity going.
So it'll be in that actually, world.
I don't know. Build momentum for a thing. World.
Yeah.
And I know that he said in the past, I think it was him, where he mentioned that at first DC wasn't really caring about fitting things in, but now they're caring more about making sure everything is more cohesive.
But Batman is supposed to be its entirely own universe.
You just shook your head at this, Jonesy. You literally just suggested that they pull people from the HBO Max so they make it cohesive, and then you shake your head when you're talking about them keeping it cohesive.
You know why? You know why? Because it's my idea, not fucking executives that don't know what the fuck they're doing for all. Like, they've been fucking this shit forever. Like, if I say it, then I'm going to make it make sense in my own head. They've been fucking off with this shit for however many years and doing it wrong. If Warner Brothers is doing some wishy-washy bullshit, then yes, I have problems with it. Like, we don't care. Now it does matter. Like, it's the same ridiculous shit.
I kind of assume it's actually going to be an HBO Max project. Like, Peacemaker is going to have so much fun doing Peacemaker, even more than the Suicide Squad, that maybe it's just another, like, TV show about one character. And, you know, but honestly, I was just thinking about it. Batman Beyond. That'd be my choice for James Gunn. It'd be fucking Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton and a younger guy, Terry McGinnis or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
That's right.
Yeah, it's just the way you said it. Maybe not.
I didn't think I'd remember it, and then I remembered it.
A younger guy, Terry McGinnis or whatever.
That's funny. But yeah, I think that'd be good. That'd be interesting. I know that originally that was their big plan with Ben Affleck, was that they were going to have him for a few movies. Then he was going to take on the old Bruce Wayne role, and they were going to have a Batman Beyond movie.
And there's no other reason to bring Keaton in other than do that.
I literally did not bring up Keaton at all. What are you talking about, Nick?
Well, there's no reason to bring Keaton into the DCEU unless you're doing Batman Beyond. So I think they're still following through with that plan. I don't understand Jammer's misconnection there.
What's happening? Why are we making a face? I don't know what the disconnect is. What's happening?
The disconnect was, I literally said their plan with Ben Affleck was this, and then you agreed and then said there's no other reason to bring Keaton in.
He said unless you're going to continue the plan. That was the
rest of the sentence. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because obviously Affleck is gone. Like, they're not doing Batman Beyond with Ben Affleck anymore.
No.
They didn't even do a Batman movie with Ben Affleck. One.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well,
I think anyway, so
mostly for J.K. Simmons, but
let's jump transition from James Gunn to James Gunn, because they had a Peacemaker clip drop. It was about a minute long, and it featured our favorite. What is Amanda Waller's division called?
Amanda Task Waller. Force. Task Force X.
Are they employees? Included in that? Are they the employees? The people
that are you asking? Are you asking me to see what their tax forms say? Like, I mean, it's Task Force X.
Tech Force X.
So I would
Tech Force X. That's it. I like that. I like it.
So I would say it like this: in the military, Task Force is just the general group, and just because they are the operators,
okay,
in Task Force X, they are not distinguished somehow from being Task Force X. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. So yeah, it's all the same. It's all the same. We, like, all us civilians tend to think the people on the ground are the agents, but they're all.
They're just operators. So yeah, okay. Amanda Waller's the commander. I was going to say she's the colonel, but it's Colonel Flag in the field, which is weird and abnormal, but that's the way that it would be set up in the military. So yeah, Task Force X. That's what it says on their tax form.
Well, the Task Force X that turned on Amanda Waller. Ironically, the one lady who actually hit her in the head with the golf club isn't in the actual...
Super weird.
...in the thing. But anyways, we got the other ones who were pretty vocal. By vocal, I mean they were very... What's the word? They were utilized relatively well in the movie. And it was very clear that, these are going to be like our people who are going to be the heads other than John Cena. And they were sitting in a diner... waiting for Peacemaker to come in, and then he comes in his new brand new outfit. It's fine, just totally pressed and cleaned at the dry cleaner, and he just walks in and everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? And it basically just a conversation.
Can you believe he's in costume? Like, they make fun
it's
of
a
him.
Conversation. Yeah, it's a conversation. And it's very James Gunn. What did you guys think of the scene?
I loved Eagly the Eagle. Just the fact that he's so Captain America, he has a bald eagle in his back of his car.
James Gunn is literally me, because I have made this joke so many times. So we used to go for a walk, and then there used to be these cats that would walk with us. I don't know who they belonged to, but there was a black one called, what's that?
A pack of cats. I don't know. What do you call a group of cats? A murder of cats.
No. It was usually like one at a time, not at once, not a few of them. There's like one that would follow me. I thought
these cats would walk with us.
And another, they would walk with us, but then there would be another one that walked with us at a different part. One of them was white or black, and I called it Blackie, and the other one was gray. I called it Grayy, and we would just walk constantly. My wife used to always give me shit because I named it Grayy, but I have the same, naming prowess as Peacemaker, because Eagly the Eagle.
Mm-hmm. Clouder is the answer to your question, though.
What is?
What is a group of cats called?
A clouder?
Yeah.
Is that real?
That's a weird word.
A clouder of cats?
Sounds fake.
No, he just made that up.
I don't make
it's a pride.
Do you also have a girlfriend in
Those
Canada?
Those are big cats.
Well, we did.
Big Gemma cats are a pride.
Cats. They're cats. They could have been big cats, Jonesy.
Yeah, we don't know who's following Jammer around.
Are they cougars?
Always.
Or one was black, it was a panther. The other one was just a white Siberian tiger, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That he was being followed by.
Wait, is that a Power Ranger?
What?
So he said Black Panther. He said he's a Black Panther, and he said a white Siberian tiger. So Tommy was a white Siberian tiger. That was his. Never mind.
Yeah, he was.
I got
he had
enough.
A Saba, his talking dagger hilt. Why are we talking about this? What did you guys think of the scene?
Eagle, because you named cats after their skin color.
You brought up a clouder. you did this.
No, I brought up
this
one
is your
cat.
Mess.
One cat would follow me from
this is
one place
no,
to another.
No, you didn't tell the whole story again.
Just
naming convention.
That's it. I'm
that's
done.
Why we were outside.
Danny, what did you think of the scene?
What scene? Oh, were we talking about something? Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it just showed a little bit of comedy skill. Other than that, I was okay. I'm gonna watch this show when it comes. I didn't need that. It was nothing to me. I skipped past it, but okay.
Yeah. What about you, Jonesy?
Same. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't like clips of things as trailers. Like, just show me.
Trailer. Okay.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Trailer fandom confirmed.
Any last words about James Gunn, Peacemaker, his DC projects, or anything?
See, you're bored just talking about it.
I thought the footage looked great. And I mean, I don't know what I would otherwise expect. It's just, it sounds like, yeah. James Gunn obviously went from writing him a month ago to like writing him immediately after he finished the script. And it feels completely in line with the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing surprising. It was great.
Didn't need it.
All right, moving on. We got the weirdest rumor to come this side of Rumor Town, USA. It comes in the form of a report from Variety stating that there's an Agatha spinoff series.
Oh yeah,
from Marvel Studios.
Is it a rumor? Disney Plus. If it's in Variety, or is it actual? I thought it was actual news.
Well, depends.
Does Variety do rumors?
I mean, they all do fucking rumors. They all do them. No, it doesn't matter if they're freaking THR or Variety, just because they're, you know, more credible, whether or not it's actually freaking a credible thing, they blah, 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 blah. It's bullshit.
Literally, they're the only actual journalists in the industry and everyone else is repeating their stories or has a source.
That's not true. What about THR?
That's what I'm saying. THR, Variety, those kind of guys are the Deadline are the only actual journalists working in the field.
Aren't Deadline and Variety the same?
No.
They're like sister sites.
Are they?
They used to. I know the Deadline doesn't belong to the same person as it used to. What's your face? But maybe. Whatever.
As far as like, essentially, I guess if you want to like split hairs to them, yes. But in terms of, I don't know, it's more reliable, but at the same time, oh, and The Rap, that's the other one. I don't know, man. I'll call it a rumor. I will call it a rumor.
Jonesy and I mean, Danny and I started talking about it. Danny didn't seem too excited about it, unless I misread it.
Yeah, it feels very Oprah, right? Like, you get a show, and you get a show, and you get a show, like, I guess.
Well, I saw a tweet today where someone's like, now the Danny Ramirez or whatever better get his own fucking show as the Falcon.
Well, so there's that. And I heard a rumor that they were going to do a spinoff for Star-Lord T'Challa before he died.
Yeah, well. I read that this week. Mm. That was going to be because I think those all were kind of backdoor pilots and they decided that was where they wanted to go.
Yep.
Ew, that's the one they decided to go with?
Star-Lord T'Challa?
I hated that one.
That's like the most different. Without ending the world of all the universes.
It's fair.
Like otherwise, if you're watching a Captain Carter show, which I would have imagined they do, especially after watching the finale, it's like, oh, you're going to get every beat of the Captain America movies. You're going to be on the same missions. Which is
one thing I hated about the finale. I was like, so you're just reinforcing the thing that we didn't like about the first episode, that like one for one, she's the same, which.
Yeah, of course they're not going to change it.
Sure. But it works, but also reinforces the thing that we don't like. Right. So. It makes them perfect together. It makes it make sense that they end up together in the end because they're basically the same person. But also from a what if perspective, it's also very boring.
Well, that's kind of why I liked it in the finale, because it's the only one of them that's like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like hers gets normal audiences who aren't comic book, like people who aren't used to multiverses get it. It's like it's a one for one switch. The story goes the same. And the other ones people. Are like, everything is different.
I honestly, like at the point where you're watching a cartoon that's based off of a series of movies, like you're just so far down the rabbit hole that if you're kind of lost in the sauce, I don't care. There's no easing you into at this point. Just accept it.
I think I agree with you. I really do hate Star Wars fans.
Why do you keep bringing up Star Wars? This is like a running gag I've missed the last 2 weeks.
No, it's just a running gag I started today.
It's like, who gives a fuck about Star Wars? I don't.
Did you watch Star Wars Visions? Oh, you did?
No. I will eventually. It's nothing to do with being animated.
No. Why would I watch that? No.
It's on the list.
Is that your Nick Dahl impression?
Yeah.
I got Nick to watch another anime, though, a couple weeks back.
What was that?
Summer War. Summer Wars.
Yeah, Wars.
Some I knew about it too. We talked about it a little bit the other day.
Yeah, it's from Mamoru Hosoda, who did The Boy and the Beast, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Nope.
Wolf Children.
You've been holding out on me.
The Digimon movie from like the 2000.
Oddly enough, I did see that.
Yeah, he did one of them. Apparently the Digimon movie back in America was actually three OVAs cut together into one movie into a way that doesn't really resemble anything. One of the storylines he directed. And he also directed one of the One Piece movies, One Piece movie 6.
Okay. All right. What'd you think, Nick?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. They didn't do as... I really don't like the... I discovered why I don't like most of the animes, at least the Jammer shows me. It's like, they're just always sexualizing the youngest girls. It's like, it's a culture thing, I guess, but like...
This movie didn't sexualize anybody.
No, that's why he likes it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I like this one better, because like, I don't know, anytime you see a high school girl in any anime, it's like, look at those titties.
This movie was like hardcore PG, and I was just about to say, how did you turn this into like...
I don't know how that was hardcore PG. The violence in that was what would push it over the top, not any nudity. There was blood in that movie. You can't show blood in PG.
I was shocked
when you told me it was PG. It's not terrible. It's just, I was like, you can't do that
in PG. The movie's PG.
Huh. It was good. I liked it.
Oddly enough, to Nick's point, there's this one character in My Hero Academia that I absolutely like.
Oh,
he almost ruins the show for me. Yeah, fucking hate that dude.
He's
and it's
worst.
For the exact reason that Nick is talking about. It's like, can you guys just kill him off already?
Yeah, I want him to die. I hate that fucker.
Anyway, he's a complete perv, Nick, just to
put he's the worst. Point.
Anyway, Agatha Harkness. I'm super stoked.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's true. And they also, the rumor also says she'll appear in a few other projects, maybe even movies, right?
Which I think we expected, right?
That makes sense.
Now it continues to lend credence to the whatever Val's doing, whether it's Dark Avengers, Thunderbolts, or just fucking with people in the background.
Is that the movie? It's going to be called The Fucking With People Crew.
That's her plot.
That's her plot.
No, we don't know if she's even bringing together a team. She hasn't yet. She gave Yolanda some information that has nothing to do with John Walker, but
yet,
not that we know of.
It'd be interesting what direction they go with the show, but I just love Katherine Hahn so much in general that I would watch her in any Marvel project.
What's your favorite role of hers? Go.
Agatha.
That's it? That's your favorite role of hers?
Okay. Yes. She's great, Danny. But she crushed it. What?
I asked Danny, what's his favorite role of what's her name? Katherine Hahn.
I no idea. This one.
Jonesy, what's your favorite Katherine Hahn role?
Wasn't she in Step Brothers?
Yeah, she was. She was wife to Adam Scott.
Yeah, we'll go
character.
With that. I don't know.
She's in Knives Out too, so I'll look forward to that, obviously.
I feel like she hasn't been the lead in enough stuff. Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been a lead in anything. She's like a character actor.
No, well,
she's been in a lot of independent films.
She's been in some stuff.
Hold, God damn it. Hold on. The thing I was going to say is I remember after WandaVision blew up, Netflix started promoting a 2019 movie that she'd been in called Mrs. Fletcher.
No, it's not a 2019 movie. It's an HBO Max series.
Is it?
Yeah.
Everyone started throwing up.
Or Katherine an HBO Hahn series.
What am I thinking of? So I'm thinking of something else. And there's a Netflix
Mrs.
movie.
Mrs. Fletcher, which is a great show, by the way.
What's the HBO show that I'm, or movie that I'm, or God damn it.
No, the what HBO is the show is movie? Mrs. Fletcher.
Netflix.
I don't know. Like a
Private Life. Private Life. That's what it is. So Netflix started promoting that when WandaVision blew up and people were pissed. That was the narrative that I saw on Twitter.
Oh. Well, it's a great show, except ironically enough, I like her son's plot better because he's like a complete douchebag from high school who completely learns that, oh, I can't just be this person anymore. And then he basically gets put in his place over the course of an entire series. And that's just rewarding to watch, pretty much.
Well, that's cool. Talk about Squid Game?
No.
Not yet.
Has everybody finished it?
No. Goodness, no. You guys have finished it? I haven't finished it. No.
I love that Jim's like, fuck no. I was like, yeah, of course I have.
Not yet. No.
Twice, bitch. My roommate wanted to watch it. And it's one of those things you should watch a second time.
What do you have?
What do you want for yourself?
I love that the guy who was like, wait, you've seen James Bond twice is the guy that watched Squid Game twice.
No, I wasn't. I was impressed. I wasn't like,
that's
I
what just, I'm saying.
I was impressed how you fit it in. Cause that means we went Wednesday, Thursday, like 2 days in a row.
So yeah, what happened was I went to see it just for the podcast. Cause I thought we were going to do it on Thursday. And then a friend of mine was in town and then that's just what we ended up doing. Nice. So it wasn't like a deliberate, like I'm going to go see this. It was just worked out that way. To my benefit, because it's a good movie that Jammer should see.
Good show.
No
Time to Die.
It's like good show, but yes. Yeah, seen it.
Do you guys want to talk Squid Game, given that Jammer hasn't seen it?
I mean, I've watched the first two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, at least discuss the beginning and then maybe kick
Jammer I can talk about the beginning.
Oh. Actually, yeah. So, and here's what we could do that doesn't spoil it for Jammer. I've got questions for you guys. I got some questions. If you guys were playing in Squid Game, what game would you crush at? And what game would you
fucking You literally, I've seen one game. I've seen one game, Jonesy.
No. Not like from the show, like your own game. In
real life. Okay.
That's my childhood game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Goddamn.
There's a very funny TikTok video that made its way onto Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was called What If Black People Were in Squid Game?
Ooh.
And like they have like four black people left and like four white people left, and like the next game is basketball, and they're like, oh yeah. And then they start dunking and shit, and then the white people are like, I don't want to die. So that kind of thing. What was I good at as a kid?
Oh, that's a good point.
As a white child. I don't think I was very sportsy.
Yeah, it probably doesn't have anything to do with you being white, though, to be clear.
No. I was just clarifying how privileged I am.
You don't have to be privileged to be good at sports. What, or underprivileged to be good at sports?
No, Ed, that wasn't even making that connection. I was making it's a
Joe Biden logic.
It's like, no, I grew up a millionaire. Why would I be good at basketball? What's wrong with you?
I'm a trust fund baby. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm terrible at sports. That's a squash.
Shoots and ladders.
Squash. Shoots and ladders. That's a purely luck-based game.
I know, I'm joking. I don't know. Do you guys have a good one? I don't have a good one at the moment.
Foursquare. Foursquare would be my guess.
I was actually about to say Foursquare.
Fuck both of you. Fuck.
No.
No, I was thinking two, but I didn't want to pick it because I'm not good at it.
Two square.
So here's the funny thing. The reason why I said that was I have this very distinct memory, like it's one of my favorite childhood memories, of being in fifth grade playing Foursquare during recess. And I was dominating. I was killing everyone to the point where everyone hated me, right? Like, this is just one of those recesses where I'm just in charge. Everybody hates me. And so bad that the teacher is like, all right, I'm gonna fucking come in and play. So he was one of the younger teachers, you know, like the quote unquote cool teachers.
Oh, you kicked your teacher's ass.
Beat the shit out of him. And like, but it was pure luck. What happened was, the ball goes towards him and he tried to like slam it, crush it. He hits it and it hits off of my leg and spins towards his square, hits his square and then spins backwards. And as he's reaching for it, he just misses. And he's like, no! And like the whole place like loses their mind. And then recess ends. I've held on to that memory for like 30 years. It's fucking amazing. Anyway, Foursquare, that's my game.
I was thinking dodgeball, maybe handball. I'm going to go with one I'd love to see on the show, and I was only good at because I cheated. Monkey on the Ground.
What the fuck is Monkey on the Ground?
You never heard of Monkey on the Ground? It's like you're supposed
for
to...
For underprivileged kids.
No, it's for overprivileged kids.
You have to... The person who's trying to find people has to close his eyes, so everyone's always peeking. You know, you have to find people on the playground equipment and also not wipe out on it. So, of course, you're peeking. And then if you hear someone running, you call a monkey on the ground and they're out. Like if they're trying to switch between playground equipment or whatever.
Yeah, I remember this game.
Yeah.
Floor is lava.
It's basically what Monkey on the Ground is. Floor is lava would be so great. That should also be
It would actually
two.
Be lava. It would
season
be actual lava.
Yeah, it would be actual lava. Oh, my God.
Love it. So that's what I would do. But I mean, would I really? No, because I'd probably die and it'd be painful, but fuck it.
The funny thing is, during the shape game, so I'm not going to spoil it for Jammer, but during the honeycomb game, I thought that's what the game was going to be. So they go
in. Because you saw the equipment when you walk into the room.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So
I was like, what the fuck is this going to be?
Danny,
no,
what's your game?
But, oh, yeah, Danny.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What? Something.
Oh. Let's go for it, Danny.
Risk.
Kick the can.
That counts.
What's a game that we know British people play? What's darts? Yeah. Darts a game.
They all learn football too from a young age.
They'll be
wobbly wobbly.
Life-size javelins that if you miss, you get killed by them. But I was shit at fucking darts, so I wouldn't choose that one either.
Okay.
Can I just go with noughts and crosses?
Huh?
Or you call it tic-tac-toe.
Ah, okay.
What's it called for you over there?
Noughts and crosses.
Okay.
Noughts and crosses.
I've never heard
we call it snakes and ladders. Did I hear you guys say chutes and ladders?
Yeah, it's chutes and ladders.
We call it snakes and ladders.
Okay.
Interesting.
So that's, so yeah. Tic-tac-toe would be interesting. I like that.
It would be boring. No one would ever win.
Yeah, no, oh, but I would love the intensity, right? Because like in this game, you just have to win once. That would have been a fantastic Squid Game because like just a bunch of cats game, and it's just like the where you just fucking fuck some shit up. I would love to see it.
That would be really good. It would be a lot of tense. It'd basically be done in montage where it's like they go cats game, and then be like and then like going to crossfade, cats game, and then someone finally fucked up, and then they're shot.
And then it's just like sweat dripping. Oh man, I would love to see it. That'd be great. Anyway.
We got a lot of pitches for season two.
We've done
as a thing.
But I really like the show so far. I'm only a couple episodes in, as I said, but I think it's just really very engaging from the get-go. And it's not very fast paced, but it's never boring.
Mm-hmm.
It constantly is moving things forward. And minor spoilers. I mean, spoilers for episode two. That was the episode two situation with everyone voting on Squid Game was very unexpected. And it really added a lot to both the social commentary and the character agency to the whole thing. That really helped that it made it less about, less Saw and less, you know, escape room, and more of just a social commentary of like about what Korean society is, or how one person could perceive an incredibly capitalistic society, you know, because at first I was thinking, what are the things we could think about here? Is it like a collectivistic mindset where you get all these people who are essentially a burden on society and find ways to kill them? Or is it something else? Is it like a commentary on these people who are put in positions where they can't succeed? And it just is like a snowball. Like, I'm curious of just like, where that comes from and what the overall message is. And I obviously don't know how the show ends at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of overall thing they're going for, but it's just really interesting. And I think that second episode of them making it a choice really adds to whatever message they're going to end up having.
So I will say this to something Danny just raised in the chat. I do think that the last episode is probably the weakest to me. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but I do think that it was the one where it's kind of like, I guess, all right. And I'm hoping that whatever they end up doing in season two makes it better. But yeah, that's the feeling I walked away with.
I don't think this spoils season two, but I heard the rumors are the second season is about not told from the perspective of the contestants, but from like the Korean police. No, the Korean police, actually.
Interesting.
That's not even a rumor. That's what they're thinking right now. I don't think we've even written anything yet, but
they say what time frame. So like at the same time season one is happening, or
I assume it's a sequel series.
Okay.
Based on other stuff we saw towards the end of the series.
Not necessarily, right? Like it is.
Well, I assume it's going to follow. I don't want to spoil.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's possible that, given what happens at the end, it is possible to do a second season where, because they're segregated on this island, it would have been possible to do something else that happens in the exact same timeline with the police. That's what I was asking when.
Oh yeah.
What?
They are on an island.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It's basically a Bond base island, which even has like
yeah.
The like closing doors and yeah, it just looks like it's painted like the forest.
It's because yeah. I was first like, oh, let's spoil it. I was like, no, they showed that at the end of episode one. And I completely yeah. forgot that
yeah.
that was the case.
Yeah.
How's okay. I have questions now. Now that I'm like about way episode two ended, I'm like, oh, what is that? What's gonna happen now? Because I forgot it was an island. I for some reason was like, oh, maybe it's down. You know, underground soul or something, you know.
Are you gonna finish it, Jammer?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because sometimes definitely. We watch part of a show and then
this is one of them where I'm like, this is
don't finish it.
No, it's because like it's not a chore to watch. It's just yeah. it's very it's engaging from the get-go and doesn't let up.
Like I wouldn't recommend it to someone like my parents, but everyone I have recommended it to loves it. Like, I showed my roommate. My roommate's been showing people. I've told you guys about it for weeks, or at least Jammer.
I can't think of anything negative about it to be at this point.
Yeah, what I think was funny about it was so this morning, dropping the kids off at school, my neighbors. So there's a whole group of parents and kids that go out to the bus stop, and my neighbors were like, "Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna watch one more episode, and then I'm gonna go do some work." And I was like, "Are you?" And so. Just now I went to go pick up my kids and she's like, yeah, we binged the next 5 episodes. They finished it. So 5 hours at home, they just watched the show. Pretty good. Pretty funny. It speaks to the testament of that. Anybody going to dress up as one of the characters for Halloween? Because apparently Netflix is selling those toys like
hot Netflix is directly
costumes.
That's perfect.
Yeah. It's such an easy time. Costume.
But no, I don't do Halloween. And I'm not going to Comic-Con, which is Halloween weekend, because it's going to be way too busy.
Why do you say about time?
Oh, because Netflix does a bad job of franchising their properties.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They need to do better with that.
Job on.
That's the only one. Name another. That's the
only one I can think of.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, it's like, take advantage, strike while the iron's hot. That would get into the mindset that way eventually someday. Maybe they can be, you know, have like, oh, these are the Netflix series, not just things that were on Netflix. Ether
once.
Holy moly. So the Squid Game costume effect, white slip-on van spike 7,800% since the series premiere.
Damn. That's all nuts. You need is those are mostly homemade, like, at least for Comic-Con, that's the easy homemade costume on either side.
I like the costumes of like the people who are keeping track, or who are the people keeper, the people with the guns and like
the soldiers,
whatever. Because soldiers, I like workers, how like managers. Their whole masks, their masks aren't just masks, they're like speakers.
Yeah, the shy guys.
Sure.
Did you see that?
From Mario, Super Mario, shy guys.
I know what a shy guy is, but that wasn't my point. My point is I love the fact that the mask is a speaker, which is unrelated to Shy Guy.
Whatever.
There was a meme where they put a Shy Guy face just on one of them, and like from one of the scenes in the show, and they're like, new Super Mario Brothers movie is going to be lit. And I saw one today where it's like Mario Party was the original Squid Game, and it's one of the games you like have to match Shy Guy's like flags, otherwise he like cuts it off and your boat floats away.
Speaking of which, and this is not too much of a spoiler for Jammer, did you guys notice that one of the games that they play in James Bond, they're also playing in Squid Game? I had never seen anybody fucking do this
before. Was it the slamming thing?
No. Remember in the bar when he's talking to Felix? No? Okay.
So oh, yes, I do. I remember that now.
So yeah, there's a scene where they go into a bar, Danny, and it's the scene where he's like, hey, do we have someplace where we can talk? And so the smiling asshole, and then...
Do you have someplace quiet? He says, do you have someplace quiet we can do?
And so while they're in there talking...
They're playing the game.
They're playing the game.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it was the weirdest fucking meta moment, because within the same week, I'm like, this is... Never having seen people play that game before, and then to see it twice in one week was really
weird. It was played with different things. Squid Games is played with different apparatus, and the other game, it's a very common dice game that they play in Bond with the numbers. But I've seen that one before. So obviously there's a variation, but it was with different things, that's for sure.
Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, I forgot one thing about No Time to Die. I just remembered it because the character's in that scene. I love the character who's obsessed with James Bond.
Fuck that guy.
I just love his, like, how he acts, where he's like, even to a point where later in the movie he's anti-Bond, but he's still like, oh man, it was so cool to like work with you.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
Anyway.
Fuck that guy. Anyway, anything else? What else you guys want to talk about? We've talked about a lot.
Covered a lot of ground.
But before we jump off, the t-shirts for the show with the show's logo, $34.95. Custom player number, $39.95.
That's not bad.
And the masks, so customizable hoodie that lets you pick square, triangle, or circle, $49.95. Those are all available on Netflix's website. The show sponsored and brought to you by Apple TV Plus and Netflix.
And Sony's PlayStation controller.
Yeah. I love that they do that. It's like, all right.
I guess. Like, yeah, you guys just don't care, huh? All right. That's cool, baby. So, what else? Anything else?
I wish I could talk more about it, but I really like it so far. It feels like a thriller anime.
Okay. Well, we can definitely circle back next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if I'm finished by then.
Oh yeah, series finale.
So is Ted Lasso finishing?
Yeah, yeah.
So finished today.
Season. God damn it. When Danny says into the show, in my head, I think British, and I was like, series finale. No. Yeah. Season finale. God damn it, British people. We got two of those this week. We've got What If and then Ted Lasso. Season finale. Did you guys see it? Danny, you saw it. What? God damn it. Jammer.
It's freaking.
It came out today.
It came out today. It's not even, it's 1:35. I've been working since 7 a.m. Give me a fucking break.
Nick, you haven't seen it. God damn it. No. Danny, what do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down? But do it verbally.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Your overall thoughts on the season, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. But I was not, and will forever not be, a fan of two things. The Christmas episode should have been at fucking Christmas, and the beard episode did not have enough football or Ted Lasso. I did not enjoy the beard episodes.
I tweeted today.
It didn't have either of those things, so that makes sense. It didn't have either, had neither Ted Lasso nor football, so.
But I just like Ted Lasso and football, Jammer.
That's fair. Okay.
I tweeted today that I care more about AFC Richmond than any real team.
I saw that. And then I was like, oh, they're not a real team? For all I know, they could be based off a real team. You know, like they could, like, based off a real team.
Little bit of trivia for you, boys. The ground that they use for all their shots is their actual Crystal Palace, which is a London-based Premier League team. Mm. And their colours are the same colours as AFC Richmond, so they don't have to change the colours of the stands and stuff.
That's
so they made AFC Richmond colours the same, so it matches the stadium of Crystal Palace where they filmed the show, or the outdoor sections.
Dropping knowledge. I love it.
There you go.
Asked my wife for an AFC Richmond jersey. I was like, I want that for Christmas and or my birthday. Make it happen.
Is that a fetish thing that you've got with you and your wife then?
Which fetish?
What do you mean, which fetish? Many?
Definitely more than one, obviously, apparently.
I think, what just happened with the, what, where did the, what? I'm what? So confused with what just happened.
I don't know.
Who's wearing the shirt in this scenario? Is it you wearing the shirt and nothing else, or is your wife wearing the shirt and nothing else?
we're gonna have to save that for Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast after dark.
Okay.
The super secret show. They have to enter code into your
only available box. On the dark web.
Patreon, baby.
On the dark web. Good God.
I'll let people pay for this. Patreon.
Were you making pay to watch? Where are we going with this, Jonesy?
I just imagine
we're going to fans only. OnlyFans.
He's like, I'm wearing the jersey, nothing else. And then also you can select to cut off my limbs if you feel like it. It's a part of that's a part of the dark web aspect of what this chat is.
Speaking of which, have you guys watched Clickbait? I'm told that I need to watch it.
I've been told that too.
Okay.
You've been told I have not
been watching a lot. I've just been reading a lot of things. So that's that. I'm realizing how much of an impact it's having on my viewing. This is what happens.
We'll fix it. We'll help you. We'll help you get there. But that said, for this particular episode of the podcast, anything else? No? Guys ready? Shut it down? Cut the check? And all that other good stuff? All right. Well, folks, as usual, thank you. We appreciate you listening. Danny, where can you be found?
On my allotment, tending my carrots and marrows.
What does that even mean?
It's grown folks' business. Don't worry about it. Jammer, where can you
be found? Is that a sex thing? What the hell was that?
Do you want it to be?
Obviously.
Breaking Geek After Dark.
You're going to have to pay that Patreon, baby.
Jammer. You can find me on Twitter at Jam the Writer and all of my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon, Audible, and Wattpad.
And Nick Dahl, where can you be found?
I'm at Geeky Nick Dahl on Twitter. I also do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem every Wednesday. Though this week we put out two episodes, one on Monday for Venom 2, and then the What If. That's the only reason I saw it, man. It's
like a five-minute post-credit scene.
What if Venom was actually a good franchise?
Crazy talk.
I would love that. Like some like super meta what ifs.
Man. Jeez.
It's like, what if Sony fans were smarter?
Oh,
wow.
God.
Wow.
Well, I mean.
What if Star Wars fans were smarter?
By Sony fans, I meant Sony film fans.
It's, I mean, to be fair,
are good choices.
You give some Star Wars fans some Star Wars visions. Like, oh my God, I'm back, baby. I'm back into the franchise. That's
or Mando. Nice. But then they always turn on it a few weeks later, no matter what they like.
As they should. Anyway. go ahead and check out that content on LRM Online. We got some podcasts. We got some stuff for you to read. It's fantastic. I know, because I read and listen to a bunch of it. A lot of it. Anyway. Go on Discord, let us know what you think about Venom 2, Ted Lasso, What If, Venom,
No
Venom,
Time Venom, to Die, Venom,
No Time to Die, and Squid Game. Let us know what Squid Games you would be good at. Not necessarily from the show. Pick your own. I'd love to read about it. Other than that, get yourself on Apple Podcasts and rate the show. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. And with that, you can find me at Sir Jonesius on Twitter as well as Instagram. Of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio Podcast. We'll catch y'all next time. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission accomplished. We're finally all here so that I don't have to like take Nick's place on it.
I almost forgot what to say as we were wrapping up. I was going to be like, adios.
Nick, what did you think of Venom 2?
How much time you got?
It was
Twitter review.
It was better than the first.
Wow.
I gave the first an F and this one a D minus. I like the buddy aspect of it, but there's the cliche. It's the same plot as Spider-Man 2, almost 100%, which is weird to say, but it is. Like, okay. Him and the suit break up for a little bit, which is incredibly boring whenever Venom's not interacting with Eddie. It's just not the right casting for Carnage. And okay.
I don't think it's the right casting for Eddie Brock. I hate this portrayal.
No, I always wanted Michael C. Hall to be Eddie Brock.
Yeah, I can't.
And then Jackie Earl Haley to be Carnage. Or someone said Walton Goggins the other day, maybe one of you. I'm like, that would be.
I think it was Jonesy or Dan, yeah. One of those two.
Twas I.
You did listen to our podcast.
No, I saw it somewhere. I don't listen to the ones I'm not on for the reason I said.
I know, that's why I was so surprised.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumboCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.